name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, please turn your Bibles to John chapter 14. That's the passage we shall look at when we consider this very contemporary topic. As you know, there was no computer in the time of the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, you don't even find the word computer. So how do we answer this question, what is the harm in computers? Computer has now become a way of our lives. When computer first came into the scene, it was the size of a little room. That's how large the computer was. And then from there, it improved and it progressed to desktop. And we are all very happy and satisfied with desktop. And we are very contented with the great benefits that we can glean from computers. It was expensive, but those who could afford it, they were prepared to spend the money to buy it. And then it improves to laptop, and then now it has graduated to handheld devices. And perhaps very soon, we don't even need any hardware. Perhaps everything can be projected into some kind of hologram, and then we can just touch an invisible screen or whatever you want to call it. I don't even know the name for such gadgets. And so you can carry it with you everywhere you go. It can now fit into your pocket. It can fit into your handbags. Computer is here to stay. There is no doubt the benefits of computer are mind-boggling. There is internet banking. The search engine in computer has saved us a lot of time and money. We don't have to buy the large volumes of encyclopedias. We can just simply, at the click of a button, find out much information from the world, from the world web. The benefits have changed our lives. It has changed many, many other people's lives. You go to the post office, you'll be very amazed when you queue up to send a parcel, send a registered mail for whatever purpose. You look around you and realize that the post office of today is different from the post office of yesteryear. So I ask the teller at the post office, why is the post office selling iron, fan, cameras? Why are you selling all this in your post office? Why do you do all these things? They said that now if we don't do these things, the post office cannot survive. How many people now send mails? We have emails, electronic mails. You don't need stamp. So they can't shut down the post office because we still need the post office to send out our parcel mail, our registered mail, and all the other mails. But those mails alone, they are not enough to keep the post office viable, financially speaking. And so they need to do many other things. Why? Because of email. You can send 1,000 email out and it doesn't cost you 1 cent. I mean, other than what you pay for your service, for your wireless service in your home. It's a fixed amount. You can send as many mail as you like. You can attach it with photographs, with videos, everything else. It's all paid for. You just send it out and that's it. Click of a button, super speed, faster than any other aircraft. Then you have Skype. That allows parents to speak to their children, parents to check on their children, parents will ask the child, all right, now we are Skyping, please take the laptop and move it around your room so that I see that, make sure there's nobody else in your room. You know that kind of a thing, right? True, not true, parents? Do you ask your son, your daughter to do that, to show you, make sure, all right, bring it to the bathroom, bring it under the bed, make sure everywhere is carefully scrutinized. True or not true? You see, benefits, tremendous. It's free, right? Skype to Skype is also free. You only pay for your wireless. And there are many, many more examples that you could think of that has transformed your life in a way that you cannot now live without your computer. Those who have used computer say that this is better than your arm and your legs. You cannot do without them. And so you have all sorts of computer sales. You have computer IT exhibition many times throughout the year. Last time, once a year was enough, but now 4 times a year, 5 times a year, and you still make millions of dollars because the crowd kept flocking in. More and more. Not enough. That's our world today. You can't help it. But there is also the danger, because everything that man creates can be distorted, can be abused. Just as good people will use man's invention and creation for the betterment of our lives, there will also be evil people, many more evil people, who will use the same thing to hurt, to harm, and to destroy. And with the computer being such a most potent and powerful invention, one of perhaps the greatest and most useful invention the world had ever known, making people billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars, the harm is tremendous. John 14, verse 25 to 31 is the passage for our consideration. Now, how to evaluate the harm? From the computer, you have all kinds of violence, gore, killing, murders, raping, all portrayed in vivid three-dimensional presentation. Pornography, deception, prostitution, teens selling themselves online, strangers deceiving the naive and the gullible through the dating portals, pretending to be somebody that they are not, to lure young children out from their homes into public places where they will take advantage of them. Facebook, addiction, gambling on computer, business that are vile and deceptive. Some of us have had our emails robbed by some people. We call it spam. And they sent it out to so many people. And one of them sent it out and said that one of our FEBC directors is stranded in some part of Europe. And he needed so and so much, so much, so much money. And if he doesn't require and get this money soon as possible, he's in trouble. And he could not be contacted because he lost his handphone and this and that. And so one of our board members got this email, and he believed this email, what was sent to him. And so he took a bus, and he was on his way to this place to send the money. One bus stop away. The wife was with him. And then they started to think through very carefully. If he is in trouble, why didn't he communicate with the wife? Why didn't he ask the wife? And so they call up the wife. Is it true that my husband is with me here in Singapore? One bus stop away, and he could have lost a few thousand dollars. Out of a genuine, sincere heart to help someone, somehow they took and invaded this board of directors' website, got his email address, and then spam it to all his friends. I also got one. But my heart is a little hardened. Maybe stingy or something. I did not do anything. I just delete and that's it. Mind my own business. So next time, don't send to me. Delete. Anyway, even if I want to send you money, I don't know how. I don't know how to do it. So sometimes ignorance is bliss. I just click, delete, gone. I knew about this story later on from the horse's mouth. Because he's my friend. We're all in the same boat, you see. So I don't know whether to laugh, but I just sighed, thank God. Thank God. That you save your money. Just one bus stop away. Because once the money is sent, goodbye, that's it, all gone. And I'm sure you have received all sorts of strange email from strangers that will tell you that it is your good luck, my husband has died, I'm a widow, I'm dying of cancer, I have how many millions of dollars in the bank, can you, help me, and I want to give to your church, your church is so good, and all sorts of nonsense. And then, but all you need to do is to send me so much money to help trigger the whole thing, then you will get lots of money, they will appeal to your greed. You get a lot of all this kind of stuff? I'm sure we all did. And we continue to do so. The harm in the computer, you will realize that it will far exceed the benefits that we can get out of it. And if we are not careful, we are not guarded, We are going to become victims. It's only a matter of time. If you are not careful, you're not guarded, you're going to hurt yourself in the process. Why? Now, why did I choose this passage? I choose this passage because of one phrase that is found in this passage. And that phrase that is found in this passage is called the prince of this world. Now, if you look at this passage very carefully from verse 27 to verse 30, we are talking about the Lord Jesus Christ now having a very private conversation with his disciples. And the Lord said to them, he had already told them that he will be leaving them, that he will be going to the cross. That's why at the beginning of chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. And so he told them, peace, I leave with you. I may leave you physically, but I will leave behind peace. In my absence, you can still experience peace. You don't have to be afraid. I know you have been with me for the past 3+ years. And I know that you have left everything to follow me. And throughout all this time, you have seen and you have experienced how I lived. You have heard all my teaching. You have seen the miracles. But now I must do the Father's will. I must go to the cross and I will leave you. But I leave my peace with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world given, not the peace of the world, because the world doesn't know peace. The world has no peace. The peace of the world has a personal agenda. As long as I benefit, as long as my country benefits, I will make peace with you. But if by making war with you, I also benefit, I will make war with you. If by sacrificing your country, my country benefits, I will sacrifice. That kind of peace is self-serving, it is self-centered. That's the peace of the world. And you and I know this well enough when you read the papers, when you study history of man, you notice that everybody looks after himself first. And as long as making friends with you will benefit them, they will make peace with you and be your friend. But as long as there is a higher bidder, there is a better service, they will say goodbye to you. When China was still behind the bamboo curtain, America had no problem befriending Taiwan. Taiwan was called the Republic of China. Was that not true? Did my history fail me? And then later on, when China opened her bamboo curtains, when America now wanted to benefit from the one billion person in mainland China. No longer must Taiwan be called Republic of China. No more. It must be called something else. Because China is our name. Alright, sure. America capitulated. Why? The benefits. The peace that the world gives is always self-serving, but not the peace that Jesus gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away, and I come again unto you. That means I will go away, but I will return. He's talking about his death and his resurrection. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice. Now, if ye love me, this is second-class condition. That means they don't love him. Jesus is telling them, if you love me enough, you would rejoice when I tell you that I am going away. In other words, you do not love me enough that when I tell you that I am going to die, I'm going to leave you, I'm going to do the Father's will, you do not love me enough. Because I said I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I, and you are not rejoicing with me. You are frightened. You are troubled. You should be rejoicing with me. You should not be troubled. And now I have told you before it come to pass. That means I'm telling you now, before my crucifixion, before my resurrection, before my ascension. I'm telling you now that when it is come to pass, when it happens, you might believe. I know you believe that I am the Son of God. You believe that I am the Messiah. But you do not have complete, 100% mature faith to rejoice with me when I tell you that I am leaving you, because many of them have this personal interest. They do not want their master, whom they have leaned upon for the past 3 years, to leave them without a teacher, without a master, without a guide, without a leader. And so Jesus says, I know you're afraid. Don't be troubled. I know your heart is troubled. Stop it. I give you peace. You do not love me enough. Because if you love me enough, you will rejoice with me because I am doing the Father's will. Now watch verse 30. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you. I will no longer talk much with you. Why? For the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. He knows he has nothing in me. He knows he's not going to succeed when he tries to stop me from doing the Father's will. He tried. The moment of Jesus Christ came out of the wilderness, after 40 days and 40 nights, he tempted the Lord Jesus Christ for one purpose, and that is to get Jesus Christ to sin and stop him from doing the Father's will. This world is owned by the prince of this world. When Adam sinned against God, he was given dominion, isn't it, by God to dominate the world that God had made, to rule the birds and the fish and the beasts on land? Yes. But now who is the new boss? The prince of this world is no longer Adam, it is now Satan, the evil one. You think the internet system is owned by man? Man doesn't own it. If Satan is bold enough to try to deceive Jesus Christ, to get him to sin, to hurt him, to stop him from doing the Father's will, to hinder him from accomplishing the Father's will, even though he knows that he has nothing against Christ, nothing in Christ for him to capture and to tempt and to deceive, he will still do it. You think he will not do it to us? The harm in the computer, I know that from person to person, exactly what hurt you and harmed you, you're going to argue with your parents, you're going to argue with your wife or the husband, you're going to debate. Grown men get addicted to computer games. Grown men getting addicted to Facebook and Twitter for whatever reason, because you must entertain them, you must feed them, you must open them, you must have access to them, you must upload them. And it has crippled you, it has gripped you. The Bible says, do not come under the power of any. When you are addicted to these contraptions, know that the prince of this world is Satan. It is not something that is innocuous. It's not something that is neutral. He controls it. He knows that it has many benefits, but together with the benefits, he's going to also inject into it, put into it, whether subtly or overtly or covertly, a lot of harmful things. The aim and the purpose is to distract you from doing the Father's will. Just as he tried to stop the Lord Jesus Christ from completing his journey on this earth, that is to die on the cross for our sins. And he will do his best to hinder Christ. Did he not use Peter? Peter told the Lord Jesus, don't go. We need you. We want you. Jesus knew how potent the cry of Peter was to discourage him from doing the Father's will, because Jesus loved Peter. Jesus loved God and he loved Peter. And God says, you go to the cross. Peter said, don't go to the cross. You can tell by the strong rebuke of Christ, directly proportional to the danger that Peter was to Christ at that point in time. Get thee behind me, Satan. A very strong rebuke. The computer can hurt you and harm you because it is controlled by the prince of this world. And how do you know? As long as it hinders your will, God's will in your life, you use that as your measure. We're not going to debate and argue all the nitty-gritty details, because you're going to do it anyway. Alright? Play computer games. Don't play for too long. Everything must be moderate. What is moderate? Moderate to one may be an addiction to another, isn't it? How do you regulate moderation? So you want to go to the nitty-gritty details? You can argue and argue until the cow comes home. So the guideline is, will it hinder you from doing God's will in your life? Will it hinder you in your quiet time? Will it hinder you in your devotion with the Lord, in your reading of God's Word? Will it hinder you in your growth and your maturation in the Word of God? Will it? You ask yourself, you be honest with yourself. You may be retired, but there are better ways to spend your retirement time. And if you think the computer is just a wonderful tool and it is harmless, then you are deceiving yourself. Because the moment you are not on guard, you are in danger. This computer will allow the world to invade into the very, very private part of your home and into your heart and into your mind. That computer is a link to the rest of the world. We never had that danger before the invention of computer. What is in the house remains in the house. What you do not take out of the house remains in the house. That was the kind of security because of the simple way of life that we enjoyed. But with the invention of the computer, with this www.worldwideweb, our house is no more safe. No other security. You can put all the locks, you can put all the bars on your window, you can put all the gates around your entrance. It will not stop this invasion. It's already here. And because it is so beneficial, it has gripped us and controlled us to the point whereby you tell yourself that you cannot do without it. And it is true, you can't do without it. You talk to anybody. You don't just exchange phone number anymore. You exchange now your email address. Is that not true? There was a time, long time ago, we exchanged pager number. You know pager number? Now they call it SMS. It's the same thing, isn't it? SMS. Right? It's the same thing. Pager number. Now nobody carries a pager. They don't even invent them anymore. Maybe you can find them in the museum of telecommunication. Pager. It has gripped us. And if you think that it is harmless, you have forgotten that the prince of this world is Satan. And there is human responsibility on your part, on my part, to make sure that when we reap the benefits of computer, we beware of the harm and the hurt and the danger that can befall us, especially young people. You get so absorbed in the computer games. It keeps on eating your time and your life away. They design these computer games to the point where there are certain levels. The moment you stop, the moment you lose, they may reduce you back to square one and start building up again. And because of this, and you want to be better and better, better and better, better and better, so much so that you just do not know when to stop. And before you know it, 2-3 hours of your time just gone. And when anybody interrupts you, you bite their head off. Is that not true? Come for lunch, come for dinner. No need. Fast and play. Not fast and pray, fast and play. Is that not true? I'm not joking, right? Fast and play. Is that not true or not? You don't care about your lunch, you don't care about your dinner, you just tell your mama, next time your mama says, come for dinner, fast and play, mom, fast and play. Isn't it true? Because the more you play, the faster you get. Not the fast, also fast, fast, play faster. And you look at the fingers of the young people, wow, they move at super speed. You can't even see that it's a blur, you know. You see how they SMS, right? You see how they SMS, done already. For old folks like us, true or not? Somehow these gadgets are all designed for young people. That's why young people, you better beware of the harm from the computer. It's going to hurt you because somehow the computers are designed for fingers of young people. Ours probably arthritis or whatever it is, or we can't see properly, we can't punch properly. And sometimes when we punch, the message that we send out all spelled wrongly, people get the wrong message. But the young people, word perfect with all the shortcut and the short form they use, sometimes they send, you don't know what they are saying. But all the young people know. Is that not true? I'm not kidding, right? You all know that. And because you are so dependent upon this now, you don't even realize that you have been taken by the prince of this world. He has already lured you away from the Lord's will for your life. You look at yourself. You take a good look at yourself. How your spiritual well-being could have been so much better if you have taken control of computer instead of allowing computer to control you. Facebook. Do you go into the Facebook every day to upload? And what are the things that you upload? Are they shameful or are they careful? Which is it? Are they God-honoring or are they carnal? Which is it? Must you always open your Facebook? Can you one day not enter into the Facebook? Can you do it? Don't come under the power of anything. You spend so many hours in your computer. How much time are those hours really spent for the benefit of the study of God's Word, in improving you to do the will of the Father in your life? Ask yourself. Because if it is not, it has already harmed you. You have already been harmed by the computer. Verse 31 tells us that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. So the second thing that it can harm us is not only to hinder God's will in our lives, retard us, slow us down, but it can also hinder our obedience to God's word. Hinder God's will in our lives and hinder God's word, our obedience to God's word. He tried to do that to the Lord. That's what Satan tried to do. That's the bottom line. But Jesus says, I will not let him succeed, so that the world may know that I love the Father and I am here to do the Father's commandment, the Father's will, the word of God. I'm here to obey God's commandment. You are saved to obey God's word. You don't let the voice of the computer control your life, but the voice of God must control your life. The computer speaks now, right? Whether it is in written form or audio, it speaks. That's how it captures you. Ear gate and the eye gate. And it holds you. And it is very brilliant. And now they come out with computers where the screen is super brilliant. So much so that it is so brilliant that even the eye can't even enjoy the maximum brilliance that the screen could ever produce. They call it what? Retina? I don't know what they call it. True. It is so sharp that even the naked eyes can't even appreciate the kind of fine sharpness. Maybe through a microscope, whatever it is, in order to enjoy how brilliant the color is, how sharp the color is. And we want it the sharper, the better. We have been programmed, the sharper, the better, the sharper, the better. Why must it be better? You are not even able to see it. You can't even hear the dog whistle, right? I mean, there are certain things that you just simply beyond the naked eyes, beyond our human ears. Are you the loser? You can't hear that kind of bandwidth that dogs hear? They're going to invent something that is beyond our naked eyes to see. What for? What for? What is the benefit? But they already inject this into you. You must buy it. You must get it. More and more, more and more. Hinders our lives from doing God's will. Hinder our lives from obeying God's word. Jesus says, I will do my Father's will, so that the world may know that I love my Father, and that I am here to do my Father's commandment in my life. God's word. And that's what God has saved us to do. The same thing. Jesus told the disciples, my Father sent me to be the Messiah, so send I you. To do what? To do God's work and to do God's will. Peace be upon you. God has sent us all off to do different purposes, different missions, but comes from the same Heavenly Father. And Satan will love to hinder us, just as he tried his utmost to hinder Christ while he was on earth. He couldn't hinder Christ while Christ was in heaven. The best time for him to hinder Christ was when Christ took on the form of man. Because at that point in time, Christ was tired like man. Christ was hungry and thirsty like man. Christ needed to rest like man. And he knew that was his opportunity. And now, right at the very, very final phase of Christ's obedience to the Heavenly Father, he will try his best to discourage Christ and succeed in getting Christ to disobey God's commandment. And he will do the same to you and to me. How? Through the computer. That is how you measure the harm that we face every day when you wake up. That's the computer that we have in our home, the computer we have in our pockets, the computer that we have. Nowadays, you read your Bible from the computer, right? Many of you. You have to download the Bible into your phone. Download the Bible everywhere. So you take out your phone and you look at it. The parents ask you, hey, are you playing game or not? Bible, mom, Bible. How would they know? How would they know whether it is a game or the Bible? Because many of you still have internet inside the sanctuary, right? Is that not true? Your little gadget there still have internet access. So you can check on anything. You can still play your funny game with some stranger in some part of the world while you are seated here. Your body is here because my mom said I must be here. But then your computer is still on. You see? and you don't even feel bad about it. Right in the midst of the sanctuary where everybody around you is worshiping God, you're doing something that you're not supposed to do. And your conscience is here, you don't bother anymore. Why? Because you're so used to it. Satan has succeeded, hurt you and harm you through the computer. Because he has succeeded in hindering you from obeying God's word, hindering you from obeying God's will. But God says, you must succeed. You cannot fail me. Why? Because of verse 25 and 26. What does the Bible say in verse 25 and 26? That we cannot fail. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. All these things that are before, all right? The earlier verses of chapter 14 and chapter 13. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. That's why believers can overcome. Believers must not fail, because we have the Comforter. We have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. When a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit enters into him immediately. The Bible described this as Jesus Christ baptizing us with the Holy Spirit. Remember the words of John the Baptist? I now baptize you with water, but there will come someone whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to untie. He will come and he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So when a person is born again, the Bible describes us having the indwelling of the Spirit of God. So how does the Holy Spirit indwell us? The Lord Jesus Christ will instantaneously, immediately, whenever someone sincerely, truly becomes a Christian, confess his sin and accept Christ as Lord and Savior, that event takes place invisibly, automatically. You are now baptized by Christ immediately with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, he shall teach you all things. The Bible, through the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things, the Bible says. That means when you look at the world, when you evaluate the things of the world, when you turn on your computer, the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, will help you and will teach you and will guide you through the Word of God to evaluate what is hurtful, what is harmful, what is beneficial, what is not beneficial. You don't have to live in this world groping in the dark. Right and wrong is not subjective. Right and wrong is clearly taught in scriptures. You know what is hurtful, what is harmful, as long as it hinders the will of God in your life, as long as it allows you to disobey the word of God, you know that you have crossed the line. The Bible will be your objective guide. Your Bible will be your absolute. Not your mom, not your dad, not the words of the church, the word of God. And the Holy Spirit inside you will convict you. The Holy Spirit will teach you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. The Holy Spirit will help you. When you look at the computer, when you survey the web that is in the world, you know what sites you must never enter into. You know what site will hurt you and harm you and damage you for a long, long time to come. You know. And you must avoid these sites. If you don't have the strength to do it, you pray and ask God to help you. And if there are any other external methods and ways and means that can protect you, do it. Do it, because you are weak. You need all the help you can get. Why do you think parents, many of them, put the computer in the living room where everybody in the house can see what you are doing in the computer? Unless and until you are old enough, you are sensible enough, unless and until your parents know that you are sensible enough, they will take all the necessary external steps. But the best is the indwelling of the Spirit of God. And this can only come when you are born again. And if you continue to ignore and you don't care and you hurt yourself, please check your salvation, because the Holy Spirit inside you is grieved. When you continue to sin again and again and again, and you waste the precious time that God has given to you, and you know you have crossed the line. We are not going to talk about the nitty-gritty. You know what is bad, because there are many things that may not be bad, may not appear to be bad. These are more dangerous than those that are overtly very bad. Pornography is overtly, we know it's bad, we don't go into it. But there are other things that may not be bad on its own, but it grips your heart and it wastes your time. Some of the computer games may not be bad in themselves, but because it grips you, it controls you, it masters you, and that becomes bad. And because by itself, it may not appear that bad, but it becomes bad because you have come under the power of that thing. And the Holy Spirit is grief, because the Holy Spirit will speak to your conscience, and you just, like Lot, vexed in the spirit, that's all. But you do not take the courage to do what is necessary and needful to get out of Sodom, to get out of their website, to delete and cut that game away from your life. 100% cut it off, because you can't control it. You are not strong enough. You have to delete it from your computer, you have to cut it off, you have to get out of the site, never to enter into it again. If that is needful and necessary. Remember what Jesus says, if your right hand sin, it is better to lose your right hand than to enter into hell. If your right eye causes you to sin, then it is better to pluck it out than to lose your whole body in hell. That means what is most needful for your present life. If that is that which hinders you from believing in Christ, cut that thing off. No matter how beneficial in the temporal physical realm it may be to you. We're not saying that you purposely dig out your eye and cut off your hand. That's not what Jesus meant. Because most people are right-handed, and because they're right-handed, their stronger eye is the right eye. You can't do anything without your right eye if you are right-handed. You can't fight, you can't shoot an arrow, you can't defend yourself because you lose your right eye. If you are right-handed, you lose your right hand, you've got to learn everything from scratch. With your left hand, you can't eat, you can't do anything until you learn how to do with your left hand what you used to do with your right hand if you cut your right hand off. And Jesus says, no matter how beneficial it might be to your physical life, but if that benefit hinders you from entering into the kingdom of heaven, you cut that thing off. And what about the computer? Is it not the same principle? You have the indwelling of the Spirit of God to teach you, and He will bring all things to your remembrance when you study God's Word. He will help you. And once the Word of God comes to your mind, you know you have to stop it. Will you do it? Will you stop it? Don't wait until your mom and your dad shouts at you to stop it on your own account, on your own accord, in your own heart. You know it is the right thing to do. You pray and ask God to give you the moral strength and courage to stop it. Continue to enjoy the many benefits from the computer. We know that it will continue to be part and parcel of our lives. We can't do without it. The whole world forces us to use the computer. And if you don't, you know that you are like a dinosaur about to disappear. You know that. You have to have computer. It's very hard not to. But realize the danger. Realize the hurt and the harm that it can be to your walk with God, to your obedience to His will and His word. If he, the prince of this world, dares to hinder Christ, you can rest assured he will do his best to hinder you and hinder me. And computer will be one of the best tools that Satan would use, because it can invade into the very, very center of your life, your heart. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord, even as we live in this 21st century, with all the many modern inventions. We thank Thee, Lord, for the many benefits that we can glean from these modern inventions that can help us become more and more Christ-like, more and more effective in our ministry, and more effective in our bonding with one another. And yet, Lord, in the midst of all these benefits, we also realize the danger and the harm that comes with it too. Be with every child of Thine. Fill us with Thy Holy Spirit, that we may have discernment, strength, and courage to always do that which is right and well-pleasing in Thy sight. That even when we enjoy that which is not unlawful, but that we must never come under the power of any, especially the power of the computer. Help all your children to continue to pray without ceasing, leaning not on their own strength or wisdom, but upon the Lord Jesus Christ, one day at a time, to give us the courage to make the right decision, that our lives will indeed be a blessing to others, that our testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ will not be in any way jeopardized because we have been hurt and harmed by the computer. Help us for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.